if you will, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter number 2. Book of Daniel, chapter number 2. Daniel, chapter number 2. While you're turning there, let me say that in the book of Daniel, we talked about chapter 1 a little bit, and the fact of men that would not compromise, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they came into Babylon. Now, Babylon had been taken. Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had been turned over to Nebuchadnezzar because of their disobedience to God. And now they carried away to Babylon to in captivity. And they're there. And they, in chapter 1, you find them standing strong. We talked about the fact they stood too when the image that they were put to bow to, they wouldn't bow. And somebody said they wouldn't bow and they wouldn't bend and they wouldn't burn. Amen. I say praise God for that. And that Daniel wouldn't quit praying. He kept on praying even though he was thrown into the den of lions. He kept on praying. So these men wouldn't compromise. And they were in a strange land, strange people, young men. But now we come to chapter number 2. I want you to stand, please, while I read the Word of God. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. Now look at verse number 16. Now in between here, the Chaldeans, they couldn't help the king. The king's dream had gone from him, and they couldn't tell him what the dream was, neither the interpretation thereof. And so he made a decree that all be killed, all the wise men of the land would be killed, those that were supposed to be counselors to the king. And verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then David went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Now that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we know them better, I guess, in Scripture. But look in verse number 23. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, has made known unto me that what was desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. And I want to pause there to say this. I was studying on this somewhat this week and thinking about this verse of Scripture. And it's not my text, not what I'm going to, but here he desired something and prayed for. Here God answered the prayer. Here he is back praising. Someone said that's true worship. That's true worship. Just praying may not be worship. Just hearing a message may not be worship. But when God has moved in your life, you have asked and God has moved and you're praising him back and giving him praise is true worship. Now look in verse number 26. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, that was the name he gave him down in Babylon, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. But, and I love his part, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Now let me pause there to say this about the latter days. Here's the beginning of the rule of the Gentiles of the world. Israel has now been taken captive, and this goat runs through the end time, to the times the Gentiles are finished, and I'll say more about that maybe in another message. But the latter times, we're talking about Gentiles now, and ruling and reigning. Israel been put, as it were, on the back burner, but Israel has a promise from God that she will be a nation. And in our day, we're seeing a fulfillment of much of that. And verse number 29, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came up unto thy mind upon thy bed that should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. Daniel's now saying, I don't want you to think that I'm anything. It's not me. He's giving God praise now. Remember back in verse 23, praise God and thank God for giving him the answer. But for their sakes that should make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thine heart. We're going to stop reading there for today. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Ask God to help us. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for the privilege that we have to read the Word of God. We thank you today, God, for the songs that have been sung and the blessings been in our hearts and been challenged and encouraged and strengthened because of. I praise your name, God, and thank you that we have the privilege to come to the house of God, the privilege to worship, to pray, sing, praise, and give you thanks. Then, Lord, there have been those who have mentioned to us about those that need help, a special family Brother Todd mentioned. I pray for that family. I ask in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit would work in hearts and help all the family, especially that mother. I pray that you would help. Then I pray, God, for the sick. I ask you to be of Sister Dot and Sister Hall and all the sick folk. I pray you'd be very near and precious unto, and that you would help in a special way. Then, Lord, we come now time for preaching, and we realize the fact we need you to help us. And I pray physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way the Holy Ghost, God, would take us, help us get ourselves out of the way. And I pray that you so illuminate our minds and take our bodies and use them for your glory, and we'll give you praise. I pray. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the victory in Jesus and claim that victory. And thank you for what you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In this chapter, Dr. H.A. Arnside said probably the most simple prophecy in all the Word of God, but the most profound. Gives us an overview of the whole Gentile ruling of the world. And we'll get to that. We didn't even read anything about that image that he dreamed about and talked about, but we'll get to that maybe later in another message. But I want to call your attention today to that verse number 28. But there is a God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven. I want to say to you today, there is a God in heaven. Amen. Amen. I know he inhabits eternity, and I realize that he lives in our hearts to save people in the person of the Holy Spirit. I realize all of that, but there's a throne of God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. You remember Jesus taught his disciples when he's talking about praying. He said, pray our Father which art in heaven. And there is a place called heaven, and there is a God in heaven. And here he's had all, Nebuchadnezzar's had all the magicians and astrologers and all those that's supposed to be able to get a hold of supernatural and be able to tell him what he dreamed. And some commentaries think that he knew what he dreamed, but he just wouldn't tell them so he'd know. But I don't believe that to be the case. I believe the dream had gone from him, but the thoughts still troubled him. He had enough of it in his mind that he was still troubled about the dream and concerned about what would come in the latter days. He wanted to know about that. And I'd say that's a good thing to want to know what's coming. And I'm glad God did not leave us ignorant about that, but that we can know what's coming by the Word of God. He tells us that. But all the wise men came in. They were all trying to find something to say, and they didn't have anything. They didn't even know what he dreamed, and they didn't have the gods they served couldn't tell them anything. And gods that can't talk and can't tell you anything don't have any intellect. And the heavenly bodies, they're not God. He created them. And so these people, they couldn't help them. Hey, some people think their life is all lined up in the stars. I want you to know my life is wound up in the Son of the living God. Amen. Not the stars, not the sun that burns in the sky, but the Son of the living God. And so they all tried to find something, but they couldn't. They couldn't help Nebuchadnezzar. And so he got angry with them.
and said, kill the whole crowd. Let's just get rid of all of them. They can't help us anyway. And so Daniel got a hold of it. And Daniel then said, give us time. And he went back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, now let's pray and seek God, see what God has to say about this. And so then God answered his prayer. Answering his prayer, he praised the name of the Lord. Then when he went before King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was to give him an answer, and Nebuchadnezzar was talking about the fact and asking if he could do that. And then Daniel made it known to him that all these others could not do that. But in verse number 38, he said, but there is a God in heaven. I like that phrase, but there is a God. He wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know that it was not in the other wise men, it was not in him, but it was in the God of heaven that gave the answer and gave God glory and praise. I'm glad there is a God in heaven. I want to give you three things today about that God in heaven and talk about that. And he reveals, look in verse number 38, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. And this was a secret thing, and even Nebuchadnezzar couldn't recall it, and he couldn't know the interpretation. But there's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Now, we'll get that in just a minute. But let me say this. There is a God in heaven that knows everything. Amen. He reveals. In fact, is God revealed himself. If God had not revealed himself, man couldn't know God. And man has a void in his life about that spiritual matter. But he can't know God in his own efforts. There's a void there, but there's a God in heaven that reveals himself. I'm glad that God does reveal himself. And he came in the Old Testament, he came in appearances. You remember Moses at the burning bush? And the bush burned but was not consumed and got in Moses' eye. And he turned and looked. And then God spoke to him out of the burning bush. And then Moses asked him who he was and said, I am that I am. An eternal being, God. And he appeared to Moses, got his attention, and revealed himself to him. He appeared to Abraham, appeared to Joshua out there around Jericho. And he made appearances from time to time in the Old Testament revealing himself. But let me say to you, he reveals himself in the Word of God. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 7 says, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. It's written in the book about Jesus Christ. It is revealed of God in the book. You want to know about God? Read the book. It's his book. Amen. He inspired the book to be written. It's all about him. And it starts out in the beginning, God. He is the beginning and the end. He's everything in between. And so he reveals himself through his word. I am glad for this precious word of God that we have that reveals him to us. And thank God that we don't have to be ignorant about God. And we don't have to guess about God. And we don't have to have many gods trying to find out which one is God. He is revealed in his word. And then the Son of the living God revealed him to us. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. I want you to turn with me, please, back over in Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. I'm talking about God revealing himself. He revealed himself in appearances. Reveals himself in the Word of God. But look in Hebrews chapter 1 about this Son of God that revealed him. God, now starting at the first verse here in Hebrews chapter 1. God who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now he's saying he's spoken to us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I say amen for the Son of God that have revealed God unto us. He reveals God unto us, himself unto us, by the Spirit. Look in John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16, verse 13. Howbeit when he, The Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And of course, Jesus is God in flesh, and so God revealing himself in appearances in the Old Testament, revealing himself by the word of God, he reveals himself to us. He reveals himself to us by the Son of the living God. And what is God really like? What is Jesus like? Jesus said, have you seen me? Seen the Father. And then reveals himself unto us by the Spirit of God. I'm glad that day I got saved, the Holy Ghost came unto me and revealed myself unto me and Jesus unto me and showed me holy God and holy, 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 and that I was a sinner. I was lost and without God, that Jesus had died at Calvary, had paid my sin debt, rose from the dead, and made it real to my heart that I needed to trust him as my Lord and Savior. I'm glad that God reveals himself. There is a God in heaven that reveals, and he revealed himself. I'm glad that he did. He revealed that unto me. He revealed it unto you if you ever got saved. If you ever really got born again, God revealed himself unto you. He revealed yourself unto yourself that you might see. He's a God that reveals. He knows all things. And so he reveals those things, or you and I cannot know them. And as he revealed unto us his holiness and our sinfulness, then we saw our need of a Savior. I'm glad he revealed the Savior to us. That word of God, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. He takes the word of God. I can preach a message here this morning, or somebody else can preach, and that same message can bring conviction to your heart, and it may be preached to Christians, it may be preached to unsaved, it may be preached to both, it may be something you've got hidden in your life, it may be something you don't think anybody knows anything about, but God knows everything there is to know about you. Amen? He even knows my microphone's not on. Thank you, Brother Tim. Amen. Now, let's try that. We okay now? Sorry about that. Got carried away. But anyway, he knows everything there is to know about us, and knowing those things, then he takes the word of God. That word of God knows what you think. Word of God knows what you got in your heart. He knows that sin you think nobody knows anything about. He knows about it. He has that tucked away. And he, Bible says in Galatians 6, 7, 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth the spirit shall the spirit reap life everlasting. God knows our heart. It's amazing to me how God can take the word of God and speak to every heart of every individual in the house. And every individual needs to be somewhat different. But God ministers to that need. If our minds are open and our hearts are open to the word of God, God can take that same word and minister encouragement, bring conviction, and draw people unto salvation. I'm glad that our God is able to take this word of God is a living word of God. I'm glad it is God's inspired, divine, infallible word. And God takes that, and we endeavor to preach the word of God because it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth Jew first, also to the Greek. Thank God for his word. And God, there's a God in heaven that reveals. And he's revealing to us today. And I pray that God will help you. He reveals about judgment. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And we sit here in the house of God this morning. But remember that we are a judgment-bound people. Every saved person under the sound of my voice will someday appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Not for salvation, not to see if we're going to heaven, but because we are saved and because we are going to heaven, we will stand there and be judged for our stewardship, our faithfulness, our unfaithfulness, and God will bring all of our works into judgment in that day, and we will give an account to him. I pray that God will help us realize the fact that
how we are a judgment-bound people. Amen. And keep that in mind. God will reveal in that day all about us. He's revealing to us now. He puts his finger on our sin. He touches us with the Spirit of God and shows us something. May we take heed to it. It'll help you when you stand yonder at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be a blessing that we heeded what he said, repented when he said to repent, and did what he wanted us to do, witnessed when he wanted us to witness, and prayed and read the Word of God. Amen. I'm trying to help us here today. There's a God in heaven. Our world acts like there is no God in heaven. In recent days, there have been some folk that have died. You'd have thought they'd been God. But I'm telling you right now, there's just another human being passed through the world and left out. But there's a God in heaven. And he knows it all. Amen. He revealed himself. I'm glad he revealed himself to us so we can know him. And that we might have personal relationship with him. And walk with him, talk with him. He reveals himself to us. And may God help us as he reveals himself and reveals the things to come, reveals us to ourselves. He is a revealer of all that. A great white throne judgment. Let me just throw this in. You that are unsaved, he has revealed to us in the Word a great white throne judgment for every unsaved. There will be a day that every unsaved will go to judgment. I hear people say all the time, well, I do pretty good. I believe God will let me in. When you get to the great white throne judgment, it's too late to find out if God's going to let you in or not. Because you're not going in, you're not even going to be there unless you're saved. I mean, great white throne, you won't be there unless you're unsaved. Saved are going to judgment seat of Christ. Unsaved are going to great white throne judgment. Great white throne judgment comes after the end of the millennium, after all of it's over with. And then the great white throne judgment comes and all the unsaved dead will appear before God. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ain't not going to be anybody saying, well, now, hey, it was hypocrites down at the church and therefore I didn't go and get saved. That's not even going to be said. Ain't going to be anybody saying, well, I know this and or that and that wasn't right. That's not going to play a part in it. When you stand yonder, all you're going to be you and God and what you did with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you rejected him or you wouldn't be at the great white throne. And because you rejected him, you'll be cast in the lake of fire and burned forever and forever. I was talking to a young convert class this morning and we were dealing with this fact of heaven and hell. I want to declare unto you this morning, there is a place called hell. And someday hell and death will all give up their dead. And there at the great white throne judgment be judged. And it'll be for the glory of God and be cast in the lake of fire. That's eternal hell. And burn forever and forever and forever. And I want you to know it's real. Some folk talk like and act like that hell is just a byword. It's just something you use to fill in with. It's just a word you use when you get mad. It's just a word you say because you want to try to emphasize something. But I want you to know today, hell is a real place. And people go to hell that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not a figment of the imagination. It's not something I made up. It's true according to the Word of God. And God to heaven has revealed that unto us. And it is a real thing. And heaven's real. So I'm glad for the fact of heaven being real also. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that's revealed all of this. And he has made it real to us. He created us. And then revealed to us as a God in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar needed help. And he couldn't remember his dream. And his thoughts troubled him. And he's in a mess. And the only help he could get was because there's a God in heaven. Let me say to you today, your life may be in a mess. And you may be struggling with something. I want to report to you, there is a God in heaven that can help you. We're not preaching a hopeless thing today. We're not wringing our hands saying, I don't know what to do. There's a God in heaven has revealed to us what to do. There's a God in heaven says we need to repent. There's a God in heaven says I'll save you. There's a God in heaven said the blood has been shed for you. There's a God in heaven making it real that I'll be with you all the way. There's a God in heaven that says seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things will be added unto you. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. He reveals, but let me show you something else about the God in heaven. neither reveal. But look in verse number 18. That they would desire mercies of the God. Now, here's when Daniel went back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. Now, there's that phrase, God of heaven. And I'll say more about that in the next point. But that, he said, let's desire mercies of the God of heaven. Now, remember, mercy means you don't get what you do deserve. If you got and I got what I deserve, we'd all be in hell. But thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace that gives us what we do not deserve. But he said, desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Not perish. And I thought about that phrase, not perish. For the unsaved, they're going to perish. That don't mean you're going to be annihilated. Doesn't mean you're going to burn up and be, that'd be all there is to it. But it means to perish means to be punished forever and forever in a place called hell and lake of fire. But perish means to be killed. And said they desired the mercies of God. And so I'm glad for that mercies of God. God redeems. The God of heaven redeems. I'm glad he does. Amen. Aren't you glad that you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Redeemed, redeemed. Oh, how I love to proclaim it. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You talk about redemption, brother. This is redemption. You take something to pawn shop, and then you go to redeem it. You got to pay money and get it back. I'm glad, praise God, my price has been paid at Calvary. I can't add to it or take from it. It's in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am redeemed. In fact, is the entire Bible is about redemption. It's all about redemption. Man needed redemption. I am redeemed. Redeemed means to buy back. It means to buy back and cannot be returned. I'm glad, praise God, I've been bought out of sin. I've been brought out of condemnation. I've been brought out and bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am redeemed by his blood. Now, I said the Bible is about redemption. In the Old Testament, from creation when man failed, until chapter 11 of Genesis, it talks about the need of redemption. Man sinned. Man come short of the glory of God. Man failed God. Somehow, man needed redemption. He needs somehow to get back in fellowship with God. And then chapter 11 of Genesis and the call of Abraham through Malachi, you find a channel through which redemption would come. It is Israel and the channel through which Jesus Christ would come. And the devil tried to destroy that seed all through the Old Testament. But God preserved that. There's a God in heaven that redeems. In the New Testament, you get to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You find the purchase of redemption. Jesus died for our sin, was buried and rose from the dead. He purchased our salvation. I'm glad he redeemed. He purchased that redemption. In the book of Acts, you find a proclamation of redemption. They went out everywhere preaching about Jesus and redeemed. And somebody said, I like this. And they said they wasn't worried about what the world was coming to. They was gloriously excited about what had come to the world. Amen. We're worried about what the world's coming to. And they were excited about who had come to the world and died and made it possible for redemption. People could be saved. There's a God in heaven that redeems. Hallelujah. And then you find in the epistles, not only a proclamation, but you find an explanation of redemption and tells us about being redeemed and what it means and the Holy Spirit coming to live within and being separated from the world, living for God. He explains redemption. But then in Revelation is a consummation of redemption and tells us how it's going to all wind up. Thank God with a new body in a new place and living forever and forever. I say praise God. There's a God in heaven that redeems. And if you're not redeemed, it's because you've not let the God of heaven redeem you. Amen. But let me close with this. There's a God in heaven that reigns. How many reigns? Hallelujah. I want you to look at verse number 37 of our text. Verse number 37. Thou, O king, or now this is Daniel talking to Nebuchadnezzar. Thou, O King, art King of kings, for the God of heaven, there's that God of heaven again, hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Look at verse 44. Now he's saying, God gave it to you, Nebuchadnezzar. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven, there's God of heaven again, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Here Daniel is declaring that God in heaven is the God of heaven. He's the God of heaven that redeems, God of heaven that reigns, God of heaven that reveals. I'm glad he reigns, sovereign God. I am not a hyper-Calvinist, but I want you to know this, that God is in control of everything. God, nothing takes God by surprise. Somebody said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Because nothing can occur to God because God already knows everything, so he can't learn anything new because he already knows it. And so if God knows everything, and he does, and he has it all under control. Now he gives man a liberty to move in a certain realm of freedom. Now here we have freedom to choose Christ, to reject Christ. But God gives us that liberty to do so. God's sovereign God. If he didn't see fit, you wouldn't have been born in America. And you wouldn't have heard the gospel you've heard preached. And you wouldn't have had the opportunity to get saved you have. If God hadn't seen fit, you could have been born somewhere in some heathen nation that didn't have a Bible, didn't have any preachers, didn't have God been mentioned. Amen. It's all God. God's in control. I'm here because sovereign God put me here. I'm here by the grace of God. I'm here because of the mercies of God. I'm trying to tell you there's a God in heaven. A God in heaven that reveals and redeems and he reigns. Thank God he reigns. And again, I remind you, our world's in a mess. Our country's in a mess. But God is in control. And man can only go as far as God will let him go. And man can never go beyond that. God knows how far he'll let things go. God knows when he's going to intervene. God knows when he's going to stop it all. God knows when Jesus is coming back. God knows all of that. God knew who'd be president. God knew who'd be in Israel. God knew what the Arabs would do. God knew about every country there is on the face of the earth. God knows everything, and God has it all under control. And no use of me wringing my hands about it because God has it under control. It's all under control. And if I could sing, I'd sing it's under control. And they ought to sing it for us. Under control. Don't be afraid. It's under control. That's what that song says. I'm telling you today, it's under control. And there's a God in heaven that has it under control. Man thinks he's got it figured out and that it's going to work out just like this. And man don't have a funniest notion what's going to happen outside of that book right there. Only sure word we have of what's going to happen is found in the Bible. I know what the Bible says. Then I know what's going to end. I don't know how it's going to end up. Choir sang a while ago, on the winning side, I know we are. The battle's already won. Amen. I'm with Christ. He is the winner. Amen. He conquered death, hell, and the grave and walked out. Amen. He's coming back to get us. He's going to give us a new body. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad. I read the end of the book. I know the Antichrist is coming. I know the world government's coming. I know all that's coming. But I'll be gone. Rapture is going to take place. Hallelujah. He's got it under control. What I'm waiting on is Jesus to come and get us. Until then, occupy till I come, he said. There's a God in heaven. Sometimes we forget there's a God in heaven. We look around us. Sure, it's discouraging. It's bad. All that stuff. But oh, there's a God in heaven that just looks down on the whole thing and says, I've got it under control, child. It's all okay. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Nebuchadnezzar needed help from that God of heaven because he didn't have any help. He couldn't remember what he dreamed. He didn't know what it meant. He didn't know what was going to happen. He was in a mess. He needs some help. He needed help. I wonder why we stop and think about this. There is a God in heaven. Today, your plans may be made. for tonight, to next week, days to come, but there's a God in heaven that knows all about you. He knows exactly everything there is to know. That God of heaven, is he controlling your life, leading your life, helping you day by day? Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Lord, you know every person in this house today. And Father, we're glad there's a God in heaven that we can talk to. And Lord, we come today because we realize not in our power, it's not in our might to be able to save anybody or to be able to help anybody with their problems. But Lord, you know and are able to help. There are those here today that's unsaved, they're lost, they're without God. They're on the road to hell. They need Jesus Christ to intervene in their life. I pray the Holy Spirit make it real to them. Then, Father, those here that's been saved, you're dealing with their lives. I pray the Holy Spirit make it real. We'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.